It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
If I had $1 million...
Well, I'd buy you John Merrick's remains.
To all them crazy elephant bones.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It is Thursday, May 7th, 2026... Very special show today. I would call it a very outspoken show today. I've got Elijah Norton, and I recorded this interview with Elijah a week ago today. He's a GOP candidate, or Republican candidate, for Arizona State Treasurer. And he called in, and we had a little chat, did it in three parts. And it will surprise you. Let's put it that way. That's all I'm going to tease it with. I've got some other candidate news to report. I've got seven more candidate interviews coming up, and I'm still booking them, folks, especially if you're city council or if you're the write-in candidate for mayor. We'd like to get you to sign up and get you scheduled on the Speak Out calendar. May 13th, which is next, that's Wednesday. I think that's next Wednesday. Kimberly Zanon will be on Friday the 15th. Catherine Haley. She's a candidate for state treasurer as well. Dave Johnson, River Dave, scheduled for Monday, May 18th. You got Grace Hecht. She's running for Legislative District 30 representative, and she will be on May 19th. Sam Scarmato, already scheduled. His half hour will come on May 21st. Cal Sheehy, scheduled. The mayor, of course, scheduled for May 26th, and Leo Biasucci scheduled for May 29th. So a lot of interesting guests coming up. Anyway, speaking of interesting, let's go to our interview with Elijah Norton. And again, he is a Republican candidate for Arizona State Treasurer.
I'd be rich.
And we're talking with Elijah Norton. He's a GOP candidate for Arizona State Treasurer. And I appreciate you calling in, Elijah. This is kind of new to me, the talk of a state treasurer policy, the state treasurer's office, and that. I think you may be the first state treasurer's candidate that I have interviewed. I've interviewed for county treasurer before, but never state. So you have that notoriety today.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Tell me about who's Elijah Norton.
Yeah, so my name is Elijah Norton. I'm the first person to enter the race in either party. I entered back in April of 2025. I started a business when I was 21 years old. I'm now 36. It's an insurance organization. My company generates, I started with nothing. I started with just $1,000 loan and two employees, and I've grown it to a global insurance organization that generates over $400 million a year in annual revenue. We operate in the U.S., Canada, Chile, the European Union, and South Africa. And what uniquely positions me to serve as a treasurer is my experience. As the executive of an insurance organization, we have over $100 million in claims reserves that we have to invest in what are called NAIC investment guidelines. Are actually stricter than the state treasurer at 70% bonds and 30% equities. And so it gives me some experience that I can take to the treasurer's office that I don't think we've really ever had. But not only do I have business experience, I also have political experience. I was honored and privileged to serve as a Republican Party treasurer of the Arizona Republican Party from 2023 to 2025. There were some really, you know, huge things that I was very proud of. Number one, we secured President Trump the biggest victory out of all of the swing states. We kept our legislature when pundits were saying we were going to lose one or two chambers. We actually picked up two seats in the state house and a seat in the state senate. And we kept David Schweikert and Juan Ciscomani in their congressional seats. So, you know, we had a very successful year in 2024, and I think a lot of that was due to trust. I came into a party that was bankrupt. It was in disarray. They had just spent $500,000 on a bus and a party. I actually ran against the former executive director of the state party, and I beat her 85% to 15. She ended up running for party chair, actually this election cycle, and lost. And I ran on transparency, and I actually delivered. I delivered audited financial statements. The party hadn't had audited financial statements for over a decade. I had audited financials for 2022 and 2023 that were audited by a CPA firm. So very proud of my record at the party. I'm very proud of my business record, and I have proven financial expertise, and I want to take that financial expertise and put it to work for the people of Arizona.
And as I understand it from Gina Swoboda, you weren't exactly left a lot of money when she took over the party anyway, because of past leadership in that and the losses in 2020. Tell me, how did you recover or help recover the party to where it was when Trump won that victory in 2024?
It was in total disarray.
Right.
Kelly Ward and Pam Kirby were the two leaders, and Sheila Mueling, the former treasurer, did a horrible job. They really put us in a bad strait. It was really up to me and the chair to go around to the RNC, all the other institutions, the donors, and really convince them that we were going to be good stewards of their money. If you look back in the Kelly Ward era, when I did the audit of the 2022 election cycle, and this is actually what caused, actually, you know, cost Pam Kirby her election. Mm-hmm. You know, they only spent 6% of the $6 million they raised on actually contacting voters. The rest of the money was spent on parties and buses and overhead, and it was just political malpractice. And so we had to convince people that we weren't going to do the same thing. And, you know, part of it, I think, was me. I mean, people knew who I was. I had been a, you know, major donor to Republican politicians for years. You know, I've been in politics for, I think, over half a decade. I've donated probably, you know, millions of dollars to conservative causes and conservative candidates. And so people knew who I was, and they knew that I was stable, and they knew that I was competent. And I think that's really the foundation of what got people to start giving money again. We started getting money, we started getting donations, and we won big. And one of the things that we really did that was unique is, you know, we did this thing called the coordinated mail campaign. The Democrats have been doing it for years, but I think it was like in 2018, the legislature passed a law that said that the two, you know, the two major political parties could legally coordinate with candidates for office. And what that means is a legislative candidate could donate money to the state party. The state party could then use its, could then allocate that money to, you know, spending on their campaign or, you know, for their benefit. And we could use our mail postage discount, which is about 40%. And so we were able to send out about 2 million pieces of mail, two or three million pieces of mail, that really helped target and help us win, and retain our legislative majorities. And that's actually why I've been endorsed by multiple members of the legislature and leadership, just because of, I think they've seen me in action. They know that I'm competent. They know that I know finance. And I've demonstrated it in my business, and I've demonstrated it in politics.
It's kind of like a wunderkind, if you will, right? Given your age.
I don't know about that.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've met people that are 20 years old that have the maturity of a 50-year-old, but
yeah,
I've met
sure.
people that are 50-year-olds that have the maturity of an 18-year-old. So it's you know, age to me is just a number.
It's
about experience and maturity, and that's, you know, and I think I've proven my experience.
Again, I'm going to bring up Gina Swoboda. She talked about a condo payment that was due that really hung over your guys' head. And I know this doesn't really have to do with the state treasurer's office, but it does have to do with handling money. Tell me the story, and how did you guys get out from under that? Was it like a balloon payment?
No, well, yes. So the Jeff DeWitt was elected party chair when I was elected party treasurer in 2023. And Jeff DeWitt was actually the former Arizona state treasurer for a couple of years, and then he went on to work chair of the Trump campaign, I think, and then he went on to become he worked for NASA. And, you know, look, Jeff was a nice guy, but he had really big vision and didn't have really the ability to execute. And, you know, as his treasurer, I would have to, you know, the party treasurer, I would have to see, you know, he would go out and he was supposed to get bills approved by me, and he would just go spend money, and then I would have no real oversight because he would just do things without even consulting me. And so anyway, I guess, I think it was about, in December or January of 2025, or I'm sorry, 2024, Carrie Lake released a recording where he essentially tried to bribe her to get out of the Senate race. And it was a huge scandal. He ended up having to resign. And Gina Svoboda became the party chair. And what Jeff had done when he took office in the middle of the year is he wanted to get this office condo. And he told the entire executive committee that we were going to have the RNC leasing it, all these, he painted this really big picture. I think the executive committee approved it like 75%. It was like a 75-80% vote.
What was it for? What was it for, Elijah?
To purchase the office condo.
No, what was the condo for? What was the purpose of having it?
It was going to be the party. The way he sold it was going to be the party's office. We were going to have, it was going to put the party on the map. It was going to make it relevant. It was going to be a place legislators could go and raise money. It was going to be a place that people could meet. He claimed the RNC was going to use it, and you know, none of that ended up materializing, and it ended up becoming a major drain. And you know, the second that he left, I told him 100 times that, you know, after it was a bad idea and whatever. But you know, that's neither here nor there. When Gina became the chair, the first thing I told her is we need to get rid of this condo. And so I think it was within about 60 days of her getting elected chair, we held an executive committee vote. I prepared a financial projection, told them how bad of an idea it was, and the executive committee voted to sell it. About a year later, we sold the condo. And, you know, here's the thing. I believe in being a leader. And there's two people in the world. There's people that complain and people that step up and do something. Mm-hmm. And I'm the latter. And what I did when we sold that building is, I made sure the party didn't lose any money. I stepped up and I wrote the party a check for $185,000, to make sure that there was no financial loss to the party, in the sale of the building. So the party didn't lose a dime. We sold the building and the party is now, you know, free and clear of debt. So, you know, the new chair, Sergio, I think is doing a phenomenal job. I'm, very excited for the party's future, but that building was was definitely not a fun thing to deal with, but again, you gotta be a leader and step up, and that's what I did, and that's what the party did at the time, and we got through it.
Again, just a reminder, this is a recorded interview. Please do not call the Speak Out line at this time. You've got an opponent in the primary. It's really weird how this always happens. The Republicans have primary opponents and the Democrats don't. Go ahead.
It's really sad. I mean, look, I've met my primary opponent. She's a very nice lady. I like her personally. But nice is not qualified. Mm. And she has admitted multiple times that she has no finance background, no experience in investments, and she's just grossly underqualified for the job. I think she's got a lot of education experience, but I think she's just running for the wrong office. And, here's the problem with this. The Democrats, like usual, have one person. His name is Nick Mansour.
Right.
I don't know how much money he's worth, but I've looked at his financial statements and his financial disclosure statements. He's probably worth about $20 million.
Yeah, he started a nursing school, he told me, in southern Arizona, in Pima County.
Well, I would advise the listeners to look into that nursing school because it was put on probation. And about 3 months, I think, after they were on probation, he left. I think Nick Mansour is a dangerous person. I think he would be a horrible treasurer. He has already said on record that he wants to change our investment policy.
Right.
And what he wants to do, I get what he wants to do, but it's not a good idea. It's risky. It's bad. And, you know, giving a Democrat control over $32 billion, that's the amount of assets under management, actually is more than $32 billion now. Mm-hmm. I could think of nothing scarier. And also with Nick's record, I mean, the fact that he we'll get into it in the general election, but, you know, he is not, in my opinion, not an upstanding person. And I think, he would be very, very bad for Arizona. But back to the primary.
Yes.
Look, I think there's a clear difference between me and my Republican opponent. She parachuted in from nowhere. No one's really heard of her. I mean, she's the president of the State Board of Education, but she's got no finance background. And again, it's not about who you like. Mm-hmm. Again, she's a nice person, but she's not a person that we can trust with $32 billion. I say this on the trail all the time. Picture the state treasurer's office as a $32 billion plane. Do you want someone flying the plane that has no flight experience and never set foot in a cockpit, or do you want a veteran pilot? And that's really the choice that people in Arizona today are confronted with in this primary. And I think if you look at the numbers, they speak for themselves. There's a dramatic resource advantage. We've raised over $250,000 from outside donors. She's only raised $90,000. We definitely have more support than her. A lot of her money actually didn't even come from Arizona. It came from D.C. lobbyists, because she was a former policy advisor for Paul Ryan and some more, you know, moderate Republican congressional people in Congress back in the 2010s. But you know, again, I think it's all about experience, and the campaign that we're running is about experience. And I think we're gonna. I think the people of Arizona know they want someone with experience managing $32 billion, and I think we're going to win. The sad thing, though, is the $1 million that this campaign is going to cost or more is $1 million that we're wasting that we could be spending beating Democrats. And I think that when the campaign is concluded, people are going to remember that this primary should have not happened. It was not necessary. Mm-hmm. She entered the race very, very late. And I think it's going to be a model of why running a vanity project is just not a good thing. But I look forward to traveling the state and showing the contrast between me and why I'm the most qualified person for the job. And I look forward to making sure that Nick Mansour never manages $32 billion in the general election. I think nothing could be scarier than that.
All right. Elijah Norton, our guest. He is the GOP candidate, of course, Republican candidate for Arizona State Treasurer. GOP, folks, we say it a lot. It's grand old party. It came from years and years ago. I believe in the Lincoln era, they called it the grand old party. You probably know more than I do, and you're younger than I am.
My grandmother used to call it. My grandmother actually is a Republican. She passed away a few years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She was a, thank you. She was a big Goldwater supporter.
Oh, really?
Back in the 90s when I was a kid, I would remember watching TV and she would shake her fist at Bill Clinton. she called him Slick Willie.
Yeah.
And, she used to, one time I asked her, I said, Grandma, what does GOP stand for? And she goes, Government of the People.
Oh, wow. That's very interesting.
Of course, it's grand old party, but
right.
That's what she told me.
Anyway, we're going to take our first break of the hour. And again, we're talking to Elijah Norton, the GOP candidate for Arizona State Treasurer. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue. Again, this is a recorded interview. Please do not call the Speak Out line. We'll be right back. I'm with Elijah Norton, GOP candidate for Arizona State Treasurer, and I'd like to remind everybody, Speak Out brought to you in part by City Maytag, of course. We're broadcasting live from Lake Havasu City in the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. Find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Also by Mojave Mortgage, love those guys, by Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, by TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, and A&B Propane. Check them out at abpropaneaz.com. And back with Elijah, he's got more energy than I know what to do with. I usually have the most energy in the room. But your former GOP state treasurer for the party, which Ron Gould holds that office now, for the party.
Yep.
And he's a regular on the show, by the way. You and Ron get along?
Yes, yes. He's a really nice guy. When I didn't run for election in 2025, there was a transition period. And I thought Ron was competent. He knew what he was doing. And I like Ron.
So the state treasurer's race, it kind of saddens me in this case especially that we have term limits, because to me, I think Kimberly Yee has done a stellar job, especially with.
Well, I want to stop that.
Okay, hold that thought. I think the Arizona, the 529 education accounts, that she's done a good job with those as far as, promoting them, getting people to invest in their child's education in that. I think she's done a good job because you don't hear anything that she's done a bad job. At least I haven't. Do you know something that I don't know?
Yeah, I do. That's what I want to bring to people's attention. Look, the beautiful thing about this office is about numbers. People lie, numbers don't. And Kimberly is perceived as being this, you know, amazing treasurer that's done this amazing job, and it's because she doesn't say anything. And if you actually pull back the hood, the numbers tell a different story. Huh. So one of her number one things that she talks about when she's going out and talking about the treasurer's office performance is that she's doubled the assets under management in the almost eight years she's been treasurer. And if anyone, and that sounds good on the surface, but if you talk to any financial professional, they'll actually tell you that's actually an abysmal figure. There's something in investments called the rule of 7-2. I don't know if you've ever heard of it before.
No, huh?
But essentially it means if you put money in a conservative, you know, low yield investment vehicle, in 7 years it will double. 7-2. 7 times 2.
I got you.
And so Kimberly took office. She had about $16 billion in assets under management. She now has 32. So she's doubled the assets under management in the time that she's been the treasurer. But that's actually abysmal, because we've had 500,000 people move to our state in the 8 years that she's been treasurer. We've had property values go up by 145%. And there was this thing in 2022 called the Wayfair decision, where cities, counties, and towns can impose sales tax on interstate transactions, which was not possible prior to that Supreme Court decision. So with all of those factors combined, we should have about $38 to $40 billion under management. So she's actually cost the state about $4 billion. And if you compound that over 50 years, she's probably cost us about $50 billion. So she's not like Carol Springer, who was a terrible treasurer we had back, I think, in the 2000s or the 90s, who actually cost principal.
I remember.
She didn't put anything at risk. But she didn't do a good, you know, we're getting 4.2%, or actually now we're getting less than 4% in two of our primary investment pools. You could get a better return taking $100,000 and putting it in a money market at Chase. You know, I'm sorry, Kimberly has not done a good job in my opinion. And if you look at her badge scans, which we pulled, she went to the office 8 times in 3 years, from 2021 to, I think it was 2019 to 2022. And that's why Kimberly endorsed my opponent, and she endorsed my opponent because I've been on the trail telling the truth. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to interfere in her race. She has qualifications for, you know, superintendent of public instruction. But here's what I know. Jeff DeWitt, the former treasurer, told me something that, well, I will never forget because it haunts me to this day.
Mm-hmm.
I told him when I was serving under him he was the party chair and I was the treasurer, I told him I was considering running to be state treasurer. And he goes, oh man, that's the best job in the state, because all you have to do is let the deputy treasurer do everything and use it as a squawk box to run for higher office. And that's what's been done. And the last real treasurer we had, like him or not, was Doug Ducey. And I'm not talking about his record as governor. I'm talking about him as treasurer. You know, he actually went into the office every day. He actually tried to maximize returns safely. He actually did his job. And we have had figurehead treasurers for the last decade, and I'm running because I'm done with it. I'm putting a stop to it. I'm not running for treasurer because I want to be governor or senator or member of Congress. I'm running for treasurer because I want to be the treasurer. I want to go to work every single day, not 8 times a year. I want to go to work every single day and put my experience to work for the people of Arizona. I'm not doing this for fun. I have a great business. I could be sitting on a beach right now sipping a mojito. I'm doing this because I actually care about our state, and I care about the future of our state, and I'm sick and tired of incompetent people running policy. And again, our numbers don't lie. People do. We are not getting the return that we should get. I just did an analysis yesterday, actually, of Texas, which is another red state. Well, I would consider Arizona a red state. Most people consider it purple. But, you know, Texas is a red state. They're getting 0.5% to 1% more than we are. 0.5% to 1% is $320 million a year into our state treasury.
Sure.
So Kimberly's absence has put our state treasury at risk. And Kat, you know, my opponent, she goes on the trail and she says, oh, you know, she claims that I'm going to do risky stuff with our investments, which is laughable because she's never actually sat down with me and asked me what my plan is. And if she did, she probably wouldn't even understand it because she has no finance experience.
I see.
But the truth is, I'm not going to do anything risky. I'm going to go into the office every single day. I'm going to do my job and I'm going to put my experience to work for the people of Arizona. And her campaign, you know, Catherine's campaign is I'm going to manage a bunch of unelected bureaucrats and let them be the stewards and I'm just going to be a glorified HR manager. Mm-hmm. That's not the treasurer's job. The Constitution of Arizona and the statute says the treasurer is the chief investment officer of Arizona. And that's what I'm going to do if I'm elected.
So Elijah, is that to say that you're going to kind of clear that swamp in the office? You're going to get your own people in there?
Absolutely. Every single person that is affiliated with the current treasurer will be fired if they're a political appointee, 100%. I'm going to get good, competent investment professionals. So if you're listening right now and you work in the treasurer's office and you're one and you're a political hack, you're out of there. I'm hired the second I take office because I'm going to come in there and I'm going to hire good, competent people just like Donald Trump did when he was president of the United States in 2016 and this time. So I'm done with hacks. I'm done with bureaucrats. I want people that are competent, that know how to do the job, and are going to work for the people of Arizona.
That's a very bold statement, I don't think this is the first time you've said it on radio.
It's not.
I think you've said it around the state. How are people reacting to that?
They love it. They love it. There's a reason we, as a party, elected Donald J. Trump in 2016. I actually voted. I was one of his. I voted for him because
I did too.
I was sick and tired of these people, these hacks, Jeb Bush. By the way, my opponent was a huge Jeb Bush supporter, and her consultants are all Bush people.
I was a Scott Walker guy, so there you go.
I mean, there's not, but
I thought Governor Walker did a good job up in Wisconsin. It's just where I'm at. So anyway, go ahead.
Well, look, here's my thing. People are tired of politicians and hacks running this country.
Right.
They have bankrupted us. They have ruined us. And their people are done. And that's not just Republicans, by the way. That's people on both sides of the aisle. So if the people listening today want to hack, you can go vote for my opponent. If you want someone that's actually going to do the job and go to work every single day and make money for the state of Arizona without putting the principal at risk, then vote for me. Because I'm not going to go in there to go along and get along. I'm going to go in there. I'm not doing this for fun. I'm doing this because I care.
And that is
dangerous. A lot of people think that's dangerous in politics because people that care actually do a good job. I know that's crazy. People don't like people, you know, the political establishment doesn't like people that want to do a good job. And that's sad. And I'm just like Donald Trump, I'm here to change that.
Again, this is a recorded interview with Elijah Norton. He's a GOP candidate for Arizona State Treasurer. This is a recorded interview. Do not call the Speak Out line at this time. If you send us a text at 928-727-5566, there's a chance at the end of the show, when I'm live, that I'll be able to read your texts and comments. Thank you. You know, now that you brought up President Trump, have you sought his endorsement?
Of course. I mean, there's two endorsements that matter, in my opinion, in a Republican primary, and that's the president and that's the people's. And I don't know if he's going to get involved in this race. He's got a lot of other things that he's dealing with, like, you know, making the world a better place. So I don't think the treasurer of Arizona is a top priority for the president. But the endorsement that I'm going to be seeking is the endorsement of the people on July 21st. And I'm going to campaign throughout the state. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to say that I'm going to state the facts. And I'm going to tell you this. The beautiful thing is when you have facts and you have knowledge, I've noticed that people actually listen. And, you know, I'll walk into rooms where it's me and my opponent, and she's very nice and very personable.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm not as nice as her. I don't know. But when they see us on stage and they see the difference, they see that I have the experience, that I have the background, and that I have the passion, the room always flips. If you're going to have open heart surgery, who do you want operating on your heart? The best heart surgeon in the country or someone who's nice? You want the best heart surgeon. This is a specialized position. If you want someone that is going to get you more money without putting the principal at risk, you're going to hire someone like me, not someone who doesn't have any idea what they're doing. And that message is resonating as I campaign across the state of Arizona.
Interesting. Where does this, let's say we were very close to what happened in 2008 with the Lehman Brothers collapse, and I call it the too big to fail recession, right? And the state's money was tied up in certain investments and that were risky. Are we sitting in an okay position right now, Elijah, in your opinion? If that were to happen again?
Yes, we are. I mean, look, I'm never going to do anything. The Lehman Brothers thing was mortgage-backed securities,
right,
credit default swaps, all of these creative investment vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in no way advocating that we do anything like that. I think Nick Mansour might be, but I'm certainly not. I am advocating to continue to keep our investments in safe investment vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a very interesting thing. There are different climates, financial climates, when you look at a 50-year window. Right now, we are in a high-rate environment. And 8 years ago, we were in a low-rate environment, right? You could get a mortgage for 2%, 3%, right?
I
can remember, I think in 2021, I got a mortgage on a $4 million house, and it was like, I think, 3.5%.
Yeah.
I just got a new mortgage, though, and I got a good rate, but it was like 5.25%.
Right.
So, and I think some mortgages are going for 6 or 7. So we're in a high rate environment. So what you have to do is if you look at the asset mix that we're currently invested in, it's targeted for a low rate environment. We need to have an asset mix that's targeted for a high rate environment. And give the Treasury the flexibility to be able to pivot when those rates come down. I believe that the new Fed chair is going to lower rates, which is going to be great for the economy. But right now we're in a high rate environment. So, you need a competent treasurer who understands finance, understands environments, financial environments, and how to pivot when the financial environment changes. And the pivots that you make, again, we're not talking about doing what Orange County did, where they invested in derivatives and they lost, I don't know what it was like $1 billion.
Right.
I'm just talking about coming up with smart investment strategies that respond to the environment. And right now we don't have that. We have a treasurer who has no finance background in Kimberly Yee. We have a bunch of bureaucrats in the office. And by the way, another interesting statistic, we don't even invest our own money. Most people don't know that. We outsource all of it to another company.
Really?
So it's true. It's called State Street. If you go on the Treasurer's website, look at the Board of Investment Reports. There's one that's published every month. There
mm-hmm.
hasn't been one for a couple months, which is bizarre, but there's one every month. The last one is in February. And if you look at the Board of Investment Reports, you'll see State Street on the top. But we outsource all of our investments to State Street. The people in the treasurer's office aren't actually executing trades, or at least they're not doing it at a large scale. They're directing State Street on what to do, and we're paying State Street over $1 million a year to do it.
I was going to say, how much can you save doing that? And you've got a staff now that would be investing the money, right?
Well, here's what I'm going to do. When I get in there, and this is going into my platform, I'm going to do a comprehensive audit of our entire investment strategy. I'm going to audit every single thing that we do. I'm going to look at every single contract that we have front to back. And the first thing is I'm going to look at State Street. How much are we paying them? We're paying them over a little over $1 million a year
mm-hmm.
on the front end, but are we paying them to execute trades? Because a lot of times there are trade fees when there's trades that are executed. I want to see what we're paying them there. So I'm going to look at every single thing, and maybe outsourcing is a good idea. I don't know, but let's look at it and let's find out, because the counterbalance is, okay, let's say we get rid of State Street. We have to have a technology platform. We have to have, which is a huge cost. We have to have traders that are actually executing trades on a daily basis. Those people are not cheap. They're making 150 to 200 grand a year if you want good ones. So maybe it's cheaper to keep it outsourced. I don't know, but I'm going to look at every single thing that we have and make the best decisions, and I'm going to put my business experience to work for the people of Arizona.
Who's going to do the audit, you or an outside auditor?
It'll be me.
I'll do it.
I mean, I know how to audit. I mean, it'll be me and the new staff that I bring in will do an audit of the office and see what we're paying.
Do you know how long State Street has had that contract and who started outsourcing it?
All I know is that it's been outsourced for about 20 years. Even in the Ducey days, I think in the Ducey days it was J.P. Morgan that actually was the one that was doing the invest. So we've been outsourcing it for years. And again, maybe there's a reason we do that. And I'm open to keeping it outsourced, but I want to make sure it's the best decision. I want to make sure that it's the best decision for the state. And again, I'm going to take my knowledge and put it to work for the people of Arizona. And the unique thing I have is I have a business background, so I know how to negotiate contracts. I know how to deal with banks. I know how to deal with investment firms. And I know what we should be paying and what we shouldn't be paying. So I know how to make sure we're not taken advantage of.
All right, we're going to take our second break of the hour, and we're talking with Elijah Norton, GOP candidate for state treasurer. This is a recorded interview, so do not call the Speak Out line at this time. We'll be back with more in a moment as Speak Out continues.
That I might drown.
And welcome back to Speak Out. We're in the middle of a great interview, in my opinion, with Elijah Norton, GOP candidate for Arizona State Treasurer. This will be the last segment. Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, by The Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooters Outpost, Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Dorita's Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care. And don't forget to buy local. Or folks, it's buy local, and we don't want that. We want local businesses here in Lake Havasu City, Bullhead City, and of course Kingman. And Elijah, we got to talking quite a bit about investments and audits and that sort of thing. Let's get into the office itself while we have about 9 more minutes left. I want to talk about what works in the treasurer's office, what doesn't work. You say off the air anyway that the AZ529 accounts are a very good thing.
Oh, I think they're a great thing. And I'll give Kimberly a little bit of credit in the sense that she did expand the utilization of it. Now, I will also give her a criticism, which is, I don't know if you, I was in the gym about 30 days ago and I was working out and I look up in the TV and I see her face on an ad for the 529 plan.
Right.
And if you look at the budget, she spent millions of dollars over the last 4 years, really just promoting herself in this run for superintendent of public instruction, which I think is despicable. But I do believe, you know, if I get elected, I'm not going to put my face on those ads, but I am going to run ads and I am going to promote the utilization of the 529 plan because I think it's a great way for students and parents to save for their child's future education. So 100% I'm going to keep that up. As I said, like I said off the air, the investment returns on the 529 plans, I think, are in the 8% range, so they're actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The Permanent Land Endowment Trust Fund also recently has seen better investment returns. And then you have these other two pools, which is the state agency investment pools. Those are seeing under 4%, which, again, is abysmal. And the local government investment pools, which are also under 4%. And that's a key part of my campaign. So there are two other things really that I've campaigned on as I've you know done this for over a year, and that is I want a DOGE style audit of our entire public education system and our entire state budget. I want to work with the legislature and the auditor general and do a once in a generation audit. My opponent does not. She has repeatedly said that she doesn't want to do that. She thinks it's a bad idea. I think that's not going to go over well with Republican primary voters because I think Republicans want audit and they want accountability. And look, the auditor general has dropped the ball recently. I mean, there was a county treasurer in Santa Cruz County who stole $20 million over 20 years, and the auditor general just caught it. You know, we need an audit. We need to find out where all the waste, fraud, and abuse is. That's a huge part of my campaign. And then another big part of my campaign is what's called expanding the utilization of the local government investment pool. So there's this thing called the local government investment pool. Cities, counties, towns, other jurisdictions have the ability, if they so choose, to invest their money with the state treasurer.
Right.
And as I have been traveling the state, I have noticed that a lot of places are not using it. And I think it's purely because of neglect. I was in Navajo County, and the Navajo County treasurer, who I think is doing a great job, told me that she has her money in a money market account. And I've talked to multiple treasurers in multiple cities throughout the state of Arizona, and they've told me that they've never even seen the state treasurer. And that would also comport with the fact that she goes in the office, you know, 8 times a year. So I want to expand the utilization rate of the local government investment pool. We have to do that. It's very important. And I mean, think about it. If you've got $500 million across Arizona sitting in checking accounts and money markets getting 1%, they put it with a local government investment pool and it's 4%.
Mm-hmm.
Think of all the money that these cities, counties, and towns and municipalities across Arizona will be able to make, that they can either cut their property taxes or give money back to their people or, you know, invest it in infrastructure, whatever they want to do. That's a huge part of my campaign. And that message I do believe is resonating. I'm honored to just receive the endorsement last week of the Gila County treasurer. She endorsed me and I'm going to be going to all 15 counties some point during this campaign and learning what I can from all these different people across Arizona.
Have you met with our own county treasurer, Mojave County Treasurer Sue Ann Mello?
I haven't met with Sue Ann. Sue Ann Mello actually did, serves on the board of investment at the state level.
Oh.
And I do believe she's pretty good friends with Kimberly. So,
uh-huh.
You know, I haven't really met with her, but I've heard good things about her. But yeah, you know, as I said, as this campaign progresses, I want to meet with all county treasurers because I think it's really, really important that we educate people, just kind of like we did with the 529 plan. We educate county and city treasurers on why investing with the local government investment pool is a good idea.
Would you be managing the public retirement fund? I think it's like a state pension, right? That for service employees.
No. So the state pension, actually, those funds are actually managed by other, I think they have their own independent boards that manage those funds. And there's actually been discussion as to whether or not to bring them under the treasurer's purview because there have been some mismanagement issues over the years. I don't really have an official policy position on that, something that I would absolutely look at if I become treasurer.
If Representative Biggs won his race for governor, would you be working with Biggs at all? As far as state treasurer and governor. And so what is that relationship like between the two offices?
You know, the treasurer and the governor are separate. You know, actually, interestingly enough, I was at an event back in December, and me and him had a discussion about Prop 123. And this is a really big issue that we've kicked the can a little bit, and this is, you know, part of it is, most of it is Katie Hobbs' fault, but I also blame the current treasurer for not taking a real leadership role on this. But Prop 123... you know, is up for renewal. And if you look at the actual financial statistics on it, we're going to run out of money in the permanent land endowment trust fund in the 2050s if we don't do something to fix it. And so what I want to do if I be elected is I'm going to actually build a financial model. I'm going to take it to the legislature and hopefully the Republican governor. And I'm going to say, this is how much land we need to sell. And we need to sell at this rate because we have a lot of land that we can sell, but it's just sitting there. And there's very stringent statutory guidelines on how state land can be sold. And it just having land sit there collecting dust is probably not the most productive thing when we could sell it and put that money into the permanent land endowment trust fund and earn a return. So all I know is this: we need to sell more land and we need to do it fast. And if we don't, we're going to end up exhausting the money in the permanent land endowment trust fund. And that would be very, very bad. So.
Well,
that's a huge focus of my campaign.
It seems like under Katie Hobbs, we've sold a heck of a lot of land at auction, more than I can remember here along the Colorado River anyway. So sure. I don't know if you're aware of that, but that's what's been happening here.
I'm not aware of that. My understanding is there hasn't really been any notable acceleration since she's been governor. And I want to make this very clear. Mm-hmm. She's the worst governor we've ever had. And I'm very, very much looking forward to January when she's finally out of there and we never have to deal with her again.
Because
I think she has been terrible for the state of Arizona.
I want to give you a chance because we're sitting right at about the 1 minute mark. I want to give you a chance, Elijah Norton, to tell people why they should vote for you for Arizona State Treasurer.
Thank you so much. Yeah, my name is Elijah Norton, and, you know, I'm the most experienced person for the job. I want to put my experience to work for the people of Arizona. I want to try to get us a better return while at the same time prioritizing safety, liquidity over yield. I want to do a Doge-style audit of our entire public education system and our state budget. I want to expand the utilization rate of local government investment pools, and I want to continue the momentum we have on the 529 plan. So, you know, if you want the most experience for the job, I say this to everyone. Do you want someone that, if you consider the Treasury office a $32 billion plane, do you want someone that's never stepped into a cockpit, or do you want someone that's a veteran pilot flying the $32 billion plane halfway across the world? I hope that the answer there is obvious. So you can check my campaign website out at norton4az.com. And I look forward to continuing traveling the state and explaining our campaign, our message, and how I want to put my experience to work for you, the people of Arizona.
Well, Elijah Norton, you certainly have President Trump's energy anyway. And I know you'll be getting around the state very ably. And hopefully you're in Mojave County soon and you can stop by the radio station and say hello to us.
I'd love that.
All right. Elijah Norton, my guest. I'll come back with a final shot in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, uptown, down home American kids. Growing up in little pink houses, making out on living room couches, blowing that smoke on Saturday night. A little messed up, but we're all right. Come on now, don't forget to say you will. Don't forget.
Curtis, my man. Do you remember that? You don't know the reference?
No.
No? Yeah, it's from Animal House.
I haven't seen it.
They go into... they go into this roadhouse, and it's all black. And they're white college kids, you know. And Peter Rieger, Otis, my man! Anyway, we've got a couple of public announcements to make, public service announcements.
Yes, we do. So, Festival of the Arts taking place Mother's Day weekend at Metcalf Park in Kingman, May 9th and 10th. It starts at 9 a.m. both days, ends at 5 on the 9th and 4 p.m. on the 10th. Go for arts, craft, music, dancing, food, and more. Admission is free.
So I'm doing one that you should be doing, but I won't let you because you'll talk too much about it. Slider Safari.
Whoa.
Slider Safari, and you're performing at that event.
Yes,
are you looking forward to it?
It should be fun. Hot there, but fun.
Yeah, what time is that?
When do we start? We start at...
I don't know. I didn't book you.
3.
Ooh, it shouldn't be too bad, but it's on May 15th, folks. Friday, May 15th. Dress to impress in your best safari adventure gear. And I think they're still taking sponsorships as well. So you can call Ashley over there at the River Cities United Way, 928-855-6333. And again, it's a fundraiser for combating food insecurity in our community, right? And you need a new life jacket, Marissa?
Well, I don't get to go out on a boat, so no. But the Mojave County Sheriff's Office is presenting their annual life jacket exchange on May 16th from 10 to 12. Bring your worn, torn life jackets for a new one. Orange Type 2 jackets are not accepted. And
yeah.
It's first come, first serve, so get there early.
Right. Absolutely. All right. And by the way, that's not Otis Day and the Nights. This is actually the Isley Brothers. Otis Day and the Nights are in the movie, so... Actually, I think I saw them perform once at the old Flamingo Hilton before it was the Aquarius. All right, Hannity's up next. It's Karate Man. Afternoons in a short break.
See you tomorrow, meow.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.